الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Discussing the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go over it again. The first quality was of tawadu, humility. The second quality of hilm, forbearance, overlooking the faults of people. Third quality was of a person always spending the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth quality, dua and fear, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know if my action will be accepted or not. It's not worthy of acceptance, that, oh Allah, through your mercy you accept it, forgive us, save us from the fire of Jahannam. The fourth quality was that a person who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spends in the correct avenues. And as you mentioned there also, that our buzrugs have encouraged us, that besides our zakat, every person must make an intention that some portion of money on a daily basis. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, it was the habit of the pious people of the past that every day of their life, they would ensure they would give some charity. See, even if it was a slice of bread, but they would make sure they would always give some charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one incident mentioned of one very great buzruk of the past, maybe Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in at that time. There was a Khalifa of the time, and the Khalifa wanted to cause harm to him. So the Khalifa one day called him to the court, and the Khalifa says, tell me, every day I'm getting dreams. I get dreams about you. Whenever I make an intention to attack you, to cause harm to you, I have a dream. And in the dream I see you attacking all my soldiers, all my army, with a loaf of bread. And this one loaf of bread, you are attacking them and you are defeating all of them. So what's the secret of this loaf of bread? From the time I was small, my mother always taught me that at night before you go to sleep, you must take a loaf of bread and keep it by your bedside. And the next morning you must make sure you give it in charity, give it in sadaqah. So alhamdulillah, through that, from the time I was small, I've continued with this practice of always giving this loaf of bread in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, Allah ta'ala protects me from all calamities. So then the Khalifa said, I know that I won't be able to do anything because Allah ta'ala is protecting a person. So then the Khalifa eventually left him. So the sadaqah is very, very great. Allah give us tawfiq. That a person always, it removes many calamities from a person. It removes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it removes an evil death. Many times a person in his mortal soul is a good death because of giving sadaqah. So a person must give always in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make it our habit. Every day I take out some portion, or every month or every week, some portion I take out in the path of Allah ta'ala besides my zakat. But lillah also a person must give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the quality which we were discussing yesterday is that the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they abstain from sins, gunas and sins. And this is not something which is a barrier from us reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he explained the harms of sins. And normally a person hears about Jahannam, the Akhirat, a person is frightened, but he thinks it's still a very, very long time. But in many, many ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us that even in dunya, in this world also, a person is caused great, great harm because of his gunas and sins. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَوَادَ إِثْنَانِ فَيُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالذَّنْبِ يُذْنِبُ أَحَدُهُمَا. Or كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. There are two people who have got love for one another, extreme love for one another, husband and wife, or two friends. And thereafter you find that they start breaking, there's some problems, dislike, enmity amongst themselves. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is because of the guna and sin one of them is committing. Because of that, they is causing an effect. Many times people say, my marriage broke, I don't know what's the reason for it. It's not always the case, but generally this is the case. That because we are involved in gunas and sins, and now it's building up, eventually it comes to a certain level, and now there's a tafriq, there's fighting, there's arguments, because of our gunas and our sins. One person came to me a few months ago, and he's telling me that, you know what, my wife just left me and she went away. So I said, what's the reason? He doesn't know. He said, you know, I got a small anger problem, I shouted sometimes, but there's nothing else really. So I told him, you know what, why don't you go in the path of Allah Ta'ala, go for 40 days, change your life. Because now you've not got no salah in your life, you've got nothing. I never tell him, but just, I was trying to encourage him, rather go in the path of Allah Ta'ala for 40 days. And this will have some good effect, changes in a person's life. And the person doesn't want to make a change in his life. He asks me, I want ta'weez. Give me some ta'weez. So I said, I don't do ta'weez. I don't know any of the things. So and I told him, I try to make dua, perform your salah, etc. So, but everyone wants ta'weez to sort out the problem. But the problem is we have displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we have displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala creates that enmity, hatred amongst husband and wife. Now a person is looking for all other solutions. Then we go to an amil, we see this is jadu, and all of other causes. But the main cause is our life, our gunas and our sins. So a person then after that eventually I found out that no, he had an affair also with somebody else. That part of the story he doesn't tell. That he had an affair, that's why his wife left him. Not only because of his anger. They always say there are three sides to a story. Whenever you have a marital problem, is the husband side of the story, the wife side of the story, and the true side of the story. That's the correct one. Because everyone got their own stories. So anyhow, guna and sins, it creates enmity and hatred amongst people. And the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though in the beginning, it might cause some tafriq breaking. Example now, a person is becoming firm on deen, and he's not harsh, but he encourages people towards deen. And when Ibrahim Jawla Sahib, when he came recently, he mentioned that if a person for deen's sake is calling people towards deen, encouraging them towards deen, and people break off, they have got enmity with that person. He said, but you continue with akhlaq and character and with dawat, then unless that person is very stubborn, if he is very stubborn, Allah will destroy that person. But otherwise, majority of the people eventually will come onto deen. And this is from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Asallahu yaj'ala baynakum wa bayna alladhina adaytum minhum mawaddah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah told them, don't take my enemies as your friends. As whole surah was revealed. They are enemies of Allah Ta'ala, the kuffar and disbelievers. You must break off ties with them. And the Muslims had to break off ties. Their family, people, father, son, what and what. They had to make such mujahada, sacrifice, leave them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were very, very sad. They were in Medina Munawwara. But Allah Ta'ala sent the ayat of Quran Sharif down. That those for Allah's pleasure, you had broken off ties. Soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create muhabbat and Allah will create love amongst the people. Wallahu qadir, wallahu ghafur rahim. Allah has got full power, Allah has got qudrat. So for Allah's pleasure, for example, our family members are encouraging us to do haram, to do wrong things, to break the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So in a nice way, we tell them, brother, I cannot do so, but this is the correct way, this is the correct path. You write a letter to them, you give them du'as, you give send a kitab to them, send some ulama's bayans to them, encourage them to come onto deen. Even though they might break off ties with a person, they get angry with a person, but you show akhlaq and character. Eventually Allah Ta'ala will give that person hidayat. Allah will give a person guidance. Unless that person is very, very stubborn, then Allah Ta'ala will destroy that person. So this is the benefit of deen. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests a person. But if we are steadfast on deen, Allah Ta'ala will change people. Allah will give hidayat to people. But on the other hand, we break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of our gunas and sins, eventually Allah will create hatred and enmity amongst people. So at the present moment, we might find I'm very happy with that person. But our guna will actually create enmity. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that rozi of a person also is stopped. A person is deprived of rozi. The yuharamu risk with them yuznibuhu. Because of a guna and a sin which a person does, rozi and sustenance was coming to him. Allah was supposed to give him so much. But because of his gunas and sins, even his rozi, worldly rozi, is stopped because of the day. So many times a person thinks, if I become pious, I won't become rich, I can't get money, etc. No, how Allah Ta'ala looks after the pious servants, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala protects them, Allah looks after them in amazing, amazing ways. And we find a lot of barakah and blessings in their money. One lady, she went to one buzrug, and she told the buzrug that, you know, my husband every month, this is in India, he gives me 50,000 rupees. And I can't come out, it's too little bit. So the buzrug said, you know what, you must start living a life of taqwa. Start living a life of piety. And he encouraged her, she took bed to him, you must make tawbah, you must come out from this and this and. After about a few months later, she came to the buzrug, she told the buzrug, you know, she was a very wealthy person, so she said, I can't come out with 50,000 rupees a month. She said, now with 20,000 rupees, I'm coming with all my expenses, I've got 30,000 extra. So Allah gives so much of barakah and blessings. When a person will have the quality of taqwa, he will abstain from gunas and sins. So this is that person is deprived of rozi also, his sustenance, because of gunas which the person does. And there are also other things. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a person does a guna and a sin, a black dot is formed on his heart, and it continues growing and growing, until eventually it covers up the whole heart. Then eventually a person starts justifying his gunas. He starts now trying to cover up for his sins. And it goes worse and worse and worse. And may Allah protect and save us. It must not happen at the time of death. Because of that barrier, a person cannot decide the kalima. So the sins are very, very harmful. And every sin outwardly has got some enjoyment. They've got some enjoyment. That's why a person does it. Allama Busiri rahmatullahi alayhi was a very great poet, and he's written the famous Qasida Burda. So in there he's mentioned one beautiful poem. He says, An-nafsu kaftif. That the nafs of a person is like a small baby. Small babies, they like milk. The mother's milk is very, very tasty. Which the ulama have mentioned that the food of the mother, whatever is in the body, it's all the food is joined together and it comes in that milk. So outwardly it's very, very tasty, and the baby gets great, great enjoyment in there. So the baby is like, so the nafs also of a person is like the small baby. It enjoys that milk. But in tuhmilu shabba ala hubbi rida, if you leave the baby and you say, no, never mind, he likes that milk, let it continue. The baby will reach 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, and you haven't weaned it off. They'll still continue good, they'll still continue good, they'll still continue growing on that milk, you'll be crying for that milk. But a person has to make some sacrifice, some mujahada. وَإِنْ تُفْتِمُوا يَنْفَتِمِ If you wean off the child eventually will become weaned off of it, it'll come off that milk. But it's never difficult. Normally now a person is worried now, the child is crying the whole night. So easy way, you send it to your mother's house, the mother-in-law's house, you have a good sleep that night, let them suffer the whole night. But so at least the 2-3 days, the child it has to make some mujahada sacrifice. But once the child comes out of that milk, now there's a whole field open up for that person. Samosas and bhajiyas and biryani and akni and whatever, milkshakes and burgers, and we can think of all of those things. And as our elders say, don't speak too much about these things now because it's near iftari, also people will get mouth will start watering. But anyhow, a person, the child, when it left that milk, now he'll come into the real food. Now he can start eating real food. Similarly, we are living a life of guna. So a person thinks in a life of guna and sin, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's music, whether it's films, whether it's TV, he thinks that there's enjoyment in that life. But there's no real enjoyment in that life. That life is a life of parashani. It puts a person into more and more depression, more and more feelings of anxiety. A person is never ever happy. And he's always looking for more pleasure. Because Allah has made it such, the nafs such, that no matter how much of pleasure you give it, it always wants something higher. And the things of this dunya are finite, they are limited. You can only go to a certain limit, and eventually a person, there's no more limit after that. Then a person says, what next? And then eventually people, many of them go and commit suicide. But a person who comes onto the path of taqwa, piety, he has come out, he has weaned himself from gunas and sins. Now a person starts getting another enjoyment. There's an enjoyment of tilawat of Quran Sharif. There's an enjoyment in salah. There's an enjoyment in fasting. There's an enjoyment in all of those things. One person wrote so nicely, he says, I could never ever understand that people in the past, they used to read namaz the whole night. And they never used to get tired. For after Isha, they would read like Fajr Salah. What enjoyment they used to get. That one per person, he had gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one sahabi most likely, and he had come back home. And his wife was waiting for him. And he said, let me just read my witr namaz. And such enjoyment he got in that Salah from Fajr, from Isha right until Fajr Salah. His wife asked him, I'm here. He said, I was getting such enjoyment in that Salah. I never have time to think. I never even thought about you. So we can imagine what those people, what enjoyment they got in their salahs. And not in the past only, even in recent times, our buzuruks, our elders, subhanAllah, what enjoyment they got in the ibadah of Allah ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to come out of that gunas and sins. When a person leaves that life and he becomes spiritually mature. One person is physically mature and one person is physically immature. Person is a baligh self. So now he sees his friend, my friend, hey, he is getting married today, he's so happy, he's getting married. He calls him, my friend, why are you worried about going to spend some time with a girl? I can't see, it doesn't make sense at all. What are you going to spend with a girl? Come and play with us, we're playing with our marbles, we're playing with our kite. So he's going to tell him, why? What you talk about marbles and kite? I won't waste my time with the day. I got something more enjoyable to go to. So this small chef thinks to himself, such a stupid person, he's been spending time with a woman. You know how these women are. They only trouble, they irritate us, they nag us. How small girls are normally. So boys don't like them, they're always fighting with them, teasing them, pulling their hair. So he thinks, what benefit is there with a woman? But his friend is baligh now, so his friend understands the enjoyment of it. So similarly, a person who is spiritually nabaligh, not mature self, so he looks at the buzrugs, the awliya, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, he thinks to himself, these people, what enjoyment they're getting in salah, what enjoyment they're getting in tilawat of Quran, what enjoyment they're getting in this. But he's not baligh self, he's immature. And those who are baligh spiritually, they feel sorry for those people. Like how the baligh person, he's getting married now, he's feeling sorry for his friend playing with marbles. So the people who are spiritually mature, also they're looking at the people, you are in a nightclub, you are in the discos, you are watching film the whole night, you are in a cinema, you are living a life of guna and sin. What a dull life you are living, what an evil life you are living, there's no enjoyment in that life. This is true enjoyment, because now a person has become spiritually mature. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such, that we become spiritually mature. Physically every person becomes baligh eventually, that's not within a person's choice. But spiritually mature, a person has to make effort to become spiritually mature. So when he comes out of his immaturity, and he comes into a mature life, then a person will start getting the enjoyment. Then for a person to go into guna and sin, now you tell a person, come to sin. A person says, you're mad, are you crazy? I don't want to ever go back to that life. I saw it was a life of filth, it was a life of dirt, a life of immorality, a life of depression, a life of problems. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us that we come out of a life of sin. So outwardly we seem that the life seems very, very nicely. When Rumi rahmatullah has given a beautiful example, there was one person, he used to work with all dung and stool. So he lived there for many, many years, he was working there. So one day he was happened to walk past an itar shop. Lovely smelling itar. So when he went past there, because of the smell of that itar, he fainted. He fell down, unconscious. So the people came to him, they were worried now, maybe some bad smell he got. So they brought all the finest itars and they are putting it by his nose and trying to revive him. But now that was the actual cause that made him unconscious. So eventually when his brother happened to be walking past, his brother says, "Hey, you guys are doing the wrong thing. I got some itar which will make him right." So he went to the dung place where the dung was, he brought some dung under his sleeve, he didn't want to show the people. He put it by his nose, as soon as he smelled it, he woke up. Because he was used to that dung and that filth. So that was something good for him. So Mullah Rumi rahmatullah gives this incident and mentions that see the person was living a life of guna and sin. For him just to come to that environment, it was too much for him. He actually became unconscious. And if the person was taken out of the environment, slowly brought into the environment of that ether, and he left there for 2 months, 3 months, and he gets used to it, then you ask him to go back to that environment of filth and dirt and napaki, that person will tell you it's impossible. Like many, many people, mashallah, they come here for itikaf, and you ask them, how was the itikaf? They say, after the itikaf, mashallah, what a spiritual experience. How nice we felt when we were there. What is the reason for that nice feeling? It is because we have come out of a life of guna and sin. We have come into a life, into a place of piety, of taqwa, of the anwarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zulmat and darkness is removed. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. We understand that this life of guna and sin, it really destroys a person. And this is one main effort that a person has to make for the rest of our life. How can I come out of guna and sin and come to a life of taqwa and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi gives the solution. He says one very, very easy solution, which Allah mentions in this ayat of the Quran, that no matter what guna and sin a person is, but he says that through my tajruba and experience, this ayat of the Quran has got many tafsirs, different meanings, but he says that this is one possible meaning. And with my experience, I've tried it out in many, many people. Many, many people found a lot of benefit in this prescription. And he actually gave a whole bayan on this. The bayan is called Taysirul Islah. He explained this whole, quite detailed, he explains about this prescription. But he says in very simple words, he says when a person is involved in gunas and sins, then the best way to come out of it is to make tawbah. And he says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. A person who does good actions. He says, read 2 rakats of salah every night. And after reading the 2 rakats of salah, you've done a good action. Make tawbah. Humble yourself before Allah Ta'ala and tell Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I'm hopeless, I'm useless, I'm very, very weak, Ya Allah. I want to come out of a life of guna and sins. I've done so much of evil in my life. I can't control my gaze. I can't control my anger. I love to watch TV. I love to watch films. I love to watch pornography. Whatever it is, I can't keep a beard, it's my weakness. Whatever, I've got a very, very bad tongue. I'm always using vulgar language. I'm a stingy person. I've got a lot of pride in me. I've got a lot of arrogance in me. Whatever guna it sins, whether it's physical outward sins, whether it's spiritual sins. And he says, when you cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm very, very weak, you help and assist me, take me out of this guna and sins. So he says, فَوَلَاكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That malaka, that quality of evil within the person, Allah will change it into a quality of goodness within that person. That quality is where a person said, it's impossible for me to control my gaze. I can't do it. I'm in love with that woman. I can't ever get out of it. He says, you will see the strength which Allah will give a person within 2 or 3 months. He says, continue doing it for a period of time. And he says, within 2 or 3 months, a person will be shocked that Allah Ta'ala will give him such strength that things which he thought was impossible, now it will become possible for a person. Even that person who is a doctor and every day has to see female patients. There are many, many of our buzruks also. That Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahmatullahi wrote to Hazrat Ami rahmatullahi once that I'm a doctor, every day I'm getting female patients, and how Hazrat Ami rahmatullahi wrote the ilaj, the cure, how you must do it, how you must be able to protect yourself. And you see, after Allah Ta'ala made it so easy for him, no matter what woman came to him in front of him, it was like nothing at all. It was no difference between an animal coming to him or a woman coming in front of him. Allah made it such for him. When a person took the ilaj, he took the cure, he asked Allah Ta'ala for help and assistance, and to today's time, write to our mashayikh, spiritual elders, we write for our cure, because they are spiritual doctors. Every person's ilaj is different also. They will tell us, but this is one easy ilaj. And we should, as far as possible, try to do it under the guidance of a spiritual guide. And inshallah, by means of this, a person will be shocked. Gunas and sins which he thought was impossible, how Allah Ta'ala will take it out from a person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we bring this within ourselves, that we firstly realize the person, the first step is for a person to make i'tiraf, for a person to acknowledge, I've got gunas, I've got sins in my life. And I'm not living a right life. I have to change my life. And then once a person makes tawbah, Allah is very, very merciful. And many, many people feel if I make tawbah, then I have to leave the guna straight away. I can't ever come back to it again. No. At that moment, a person must think, Ya Allah, I want to come out of this guna. I don't want to ever come back to it. And thereafter, if a person falls in the same guna, even 100 times in the same day, and 100 times he makes tawbah, Allah will forgive him all 100 times. Allah Ta'ala will never say, my banda, you're playing the fool with me. Okay, every time you're coming back, you are making tawbah, you're breaking it. Each time Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person. And if a person has to pass away, say he did a guna and sin, he made tawbah. So the guna is wiped off. He does the guna again and he passes away. Only one sin will be written against him. All the other gunas have been maaf. He has already asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So make it our habit every day, 2 rakat of salah. Ask Allah Ta'ala in that salatul tawbah and salatul hajat. The hajat, the need we've got, every one of us, said, oh Allah, I want your love. Allah, I want your muhabbat. Allah, I want closeness to you. And Allah Ta'ala, forgive me from my gunas and sins. So if a person does this, inshallah, for a period of time, a person will be shocked how Allah's help and assistance will come to a person. Allah Ta'ala will give that person courage. We cannot do anything from ourselves. But when Allah's help is there, then there is no one at all who can cause harm to us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give myself and all of us the tawfiq that we come out of our gunas and our sins and we realize that I'm living a very, very evil life and I need to better myself. And everyone, every single one of us, we all have got our gunas and our weaknesses. There's no person who can say that I'm perfect now. No. But the person has to continue progressing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next quality of the servants of Allah ta'ala is وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. That they are those people who لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. They do not present themselves at places of falsehood. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says one place of falsehood is, for example, the places of the kuffar, the Christians, the Jews, when they have their festivals, their Diwali, their Eid, their Christmas, a person goes, let me go and see lights, New Year's Day, all of these things, he doesn't present himself in such places, because this is very, very detrimental to a person's iman. A mahal and environment has a very, very great effect upon a person. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this was out of his tawazu. He said that it's because of this mahal and environment that I'm staying here, that Allah Ta'ala is keeping me steadfast on deen. You see, if I leave this environment, I'm sure also after a short while my condition will change. That's why his tawazu and humility. But definitely environment has an effect upon a person. We find now we're sitting for a tikaf, how easy it was for a person to practice upon deen. In every area we go, the masjid is the best environment. The angels are there. We are sitting in the company of the angels. So always try to keep in good environment, good company. Inshallah, this has a very, very great effect upon a person's iman. And try never ever to go to the places of evil. Other places of evil, in the past the Buzrus wrote, cinema, a person goes to the cinema, the movies, and in today's time, the television. And the television, first it was a cinema, a person had to go out, then they brought it in our houses, one room of the house it was, then some people had it in 2 rooms, 3 rooms, and now they have brought it in our hands, in our pockets. So all the time a person is going, he's got these movies with him, he's watching these films, and the consequences of this can be very, very harmful. May Allah protect and save us. There are some stories have been written. There was one person who was living in Riyadh, and he had a friend living in Jeddah. So the friend of in Riyadh, he passed away. So his friend in Jeddah saw him in a dream. And he said, he was like going through a lot of pain, difficulty, suffering in the qabr. So he saw him for one day. So he told him, please, my friend, my family is watching TV at home, and because of this, I bought a TV for them a few days ago. And because of that, they are watching all the immoral films, and they are watching the filth and dirt. And because of that, I'm suffering in the qabr. I'm suffering in the grave, suffering in the grave. So please go and get rid of it. Tell him, get out of the TV. The first day it happened, he didn't worry about it. Second day, again, he sees the dream. The third day, when he saw the dream, immediately he realized, oh, this is true now. Immediately he flew from Riyadh, he went to Jeddah. When he went to Jeddah, he went to the house of his family people. He told them, you know what, I had a dream about your father. He's going through a very, very severe punishment in the grave. He's going through great difficulties and problems because of this TV which is in the house. So immediately, please get rid of this. So immediately one of the sons, mashallah, he had a bit of taqwa and piety, he took an axe and immediately chopped the TV in front of the house and he destroyed the thing. And now this person goes back home and he sees his friend in his dream and his friend says, Jazakallahu khairan, I really appreciate, because of the day now, the azab of the qabr, the difficulty of the grave has been removed from me. Once, many, many years ago, Sheikh Muhammad Awama, Dawud Barakatuh, his ustad, he was living in Syria and he had a dream. And in the dream he saw that the Jew is entering every house, of every Muslim house. So he couldn't understand, he was very, very worried about what's the meaning of this dream. So anyhow, one day, 1 week later, he was walking past in the streets and he saw one shop and he started selling TVs there. So then immediately he said, this is the interpretation of the dream, that the Jew is entering every house now. The Dajjal has entered every house, the Jew has entered every house. They are promoting all of the evils and the filth and the dirt, and we have got it into our houses, we have brought it into our houses. So may Allah protect and save every one of us. They say that the TV has destroyed 2 qualities in human beings. Hayah and Ghairat. Every person has got, man has got haya, shame for himself. And ghairat, honor over his wife, that nobody must see my wife. But today, unfortunately, because of this TV and because of the films and what people are watching, this complete ghairat has been completely removed. A person doesn't care, somebody can look at his wife, which is something of honor. As Mawlana al-Hasan rahmatullah says, you got a piece of meat, you make sure you cover it up nicely. In India, the crows come and they'll steal the meat. You don't want somebody to steal that meat of yours. That meat can't run anywhere itself. But you, because you've got honor and respect, so you make sure you cover up that meat. It's valuable. But it seems your wife has got no value in your sight. You leave her open. Everyone must look at her. You've got no shame also. And she can run away also with somebody else. And somebody can come and steal her. You can take her away. You've got no shame. So this ghairat and this haya has been taken out of the hearts of people because of this television. So this is one thing. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't present themselves in such places where they will watch all this filth and dirt. One story was mentioned in Pakistan of one young girl. She passed away in the month of Ramadan. Her mother called her to make iftari. And it was a favorite program, so she didn't want to go now. So she went and locked herself in a room. And the mother is calling her. The mother continued making the iftari, preparing. When after the mother is worried now, her daughter is not coming down. It's about time to break Rosa. So the mother goes to the room. She's knocking at the door. Not opening. She got worried, she called family members. They broke the door down. This girl had passed away in front of the TV. Imagine in the month of Ramadan, she's watching TV, she passed away. Anyhow, they got worried now, let's get her prepared. So they put the TV off, and they wanted to take it out of the room. They wanted to take the lady out of the room, to another room. They're taking her out, she's not lifting up, she's extremely heavy. Many people are trying to lift her up, she's not waking up. So eventually what they did, they went to the TV, they said, let's take the TV out of the room. The minute they lifted the TV, the lady also lifted up. So anyhow, they carried her with the TV, they gave her a whistle also, and then they took her to the Qabristan. With the TV they took her. And when they took her to the Qabristan, they were about to bury her. So they put her inside, they had to put the TV also. When they tried to lift the TV up, she was coming out of the Qabr. So eventually they were forced to bury the lady with the TV. That's Allah Ta'ala wanted to open the sight of the people. May Allah protect and save every one of us. So وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't go to such places. Whether it's the dance halls, whether it's movies, whether it's television. And they take the things out of their house. And remember, one alim of Gujarat, one person, one very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I went to Gujarat, and every house I used to see actually the mercy of Allah ta'ala coming down on the whole of Gujarat. Because every house used to walk past in the morning, tilawat of Quran Sharif was recited. You see, after a few years I went back when television came apparent. Now people were sitting up late at night, and there was no Fajr namaz, there was no tilawat of Quran Sharif. He said, I could actually see darkness descending over the whole of that area of Gujarat. So may Allah protect and save us. In our homes today we are saying that there are problems, etc. One main reason and cause is the television is on. The pictures are there. Allah's azab is coming down there. How can we expect the angels of mercy to come in such a house? One person works with jinnat. He told me that he asked the jinnat, he said, where you like to stay? He said, we love to stay where there's pictures. Wherever there's pictures, we go and join ourselves to that there. So a person is bringing all of these pictures in the house. He's bringing all the jinnat, he's bringing all the shayateen. Then there's obviously going to be problems in the house, there'll be discord, disunity in the families. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When they have to pass by such futility, such nonsensical things, they pass by with honor and respect. They don't involve themselves with such futility, such nonsense. And they don't look down upon those people also. But they feel sorry for those people, they make dua for them. And one very, very easy solution to come out of this television, etc., the Quran Sharif, Allah has mentioned the tilawat of Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ. Some people buy futile speech. And the opposite of it is وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا. When the Quran Sharif is recited, they turn away. It shows the solution for this is Quran Sharif. Bring Quran Sharif in our homes and have ta'aleem in our homes. Inshallah, by means of the chair, that filth and dirt must be removed. Doesn't mean you must keep the TV. We mentioned this in the beginning of Ramadan. Our elders have explained to us that whenever there is purity and it's filth and dirt, this causes jadu, black magic. So, example, a person takes Quran Sharif, he puts it in the toilet. Very, very severe black magic is called. Allah save and protect, na'udhu billah. So, when the TV is in the house and we're making tilawat of Quran, we got our namaz, ayatul kursi, then all of this is creating very, very bad effects in our house. And now, so much of harm is caused if we see somebody is making jadu on us, etc. So, a person must remove this filth and dirt. I explained this to one person, he had ayatul kursi on top of his TV. TV at the bottom, the ayatul kursi, and there. So, I explained to him this year, Next time I went to his house, he removed the Ayatul Kursi, na'udhu billah, and he kept the TV. Instead of the other way, keeping the Ayatul Kursi and getting rid of the TV, but the love of dunya, love of this filth and dirt, may Allah protect and save us from it. So we try to get rid of all of these things and make sure the environment we are going to is a good environment, not an environment of evil. And send me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and ability to bring these qualities within our life. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.